train. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Stunt Granny Audio 147. This may be part one. We're not sure. I'm going through one of those typical South Carolina afternoon storms that decimates forests in your backyard and knocks your power out. So we're going to try and do the whole thing. We'll see how it goes. The coughing banshee in the background, that is Kevin.
Woo-hoo.
Yes. So I'd save your breath just in case, you know, the coughing fit starts again.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to save my breath because for any second now your power might go out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so if I talk faster than normal, that may be why. All right. Well, let's actually, for a change, let's get right into it. And I guess we really didn't discuss where we were going to start, but should we start with old news first or new news first?
What the hell? We usually go in some type of historical order, so let's go with the old news first.
All right. All right. Well, basically, since we didn't do we did a pay-per-view preview on the last audio, we're going to do a review and work it into a Raw discussion like we usually do. So once Coffee McGee, who assured me his coughing was done, can get back on the mic.
Fuck off.
Okay, Capital Punishment came and went Sunday, led into yet another 3-hour Raw on Monday.
Yeah, people, if they actually got that pay-per-view, if they just watched the WWE, they watched, what was that, 14 hours of wrestling, quote-unquote wrestling.
Let's see. SmackDown would be, what, an hour and a half of actual wrestling. You got a 2.5-hour pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess if you count ring entrances.
Yeah. I just meant commercials.
I buzzed through that thing in an hour and 2 minutes because there were so many reruns on it.
Yeah, but if you even go all the way back to last week, yeah. I mean, it's a shitload of hours spent watching this, watching WWE.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they went back-to-back Raws for 3 hours.
And they're going again this week.
No,
I think
it's only two.
Oh, it is only two? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Thank
that
you.
Saved a rant for later. So, yeah, it's – we'll stick with that for right now, and we'll get into
that. That's just a lot of time to ask your fans to dedicate to wrestling, honestly.
Yeah, and especially expecting them to pay for I think it went off at 2:51, so roughly about two hours and 45 minutes of wrestling that you have to pay for when you've just gone, you know, 2 3-hour shows in a row, and then web content, and then SmackDown as well.
Yeah, and honestly, like, as much as I like and would have loved to have seen Ray versus CM Punk at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You had seen them in two matches, just in the preceding weeks.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't that long ago that they had their feud on SmackDown.
Right. And then, if you think about it, I mean, using that as the pay-per-view draw, you didn't know this, but then the next night after the pay-per-view, you saw them go at it again, but they added Alberto Del Rio to the mix. So the paying customer kind of got screwed in that those guys have been wrestling, you know, for the better part of, well, 2 weeks straight, 3 weeks straight, and then going a couple months back. Yeah, just
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of tough to justify. I mean, I know that I hit up what's the TNA with that a lot. So, I mean, you know, I need to bomb on the WWE when it's there.
Well, TNA, yeah, I think TNA suffers. Well, TNA is a little different, though. If they did a three-hour show, then had a pay-per-view, it wouldn't be quite as.
And also had two other hours of TV.
Yeah, but I mean, and then you've got. I mean, don't forget, WWE promotes their web content as well with Superstars and NXT. I mean, not that it's essential viewing, mind you, but there's even more of that. I mean, they're. This goes to an old conversation from a while ago. They're oversaturating themselves. Or the marketplace, if you want to put it that way.
I mean, they'd be better off concentrating on, you know, less players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, even them.
Yeah. They'd be better off cutting out... Well, not cutting out content. Because they pretty much have their guys on Superstars and NXT. I mean, you know, I don't even know what NXT is about anymore. I know, like, this is what, Redemption or something this time around. So it's the guys who lost last time get to come back. But I mean, so that's pretty much like their own sitcom, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, you've got your established guys, and then they just bump them off. Like, their own cast. God, I don't know why I couldn't think of that. Like,
I don't know either. I wasn't sure exactly what you were going for.
No, they've got their own cast. It's like, these guys are set in stone. They're always going to be on here.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, okay. So, yeah, so we got off on that, but...
Well, yeah, anywho. It's a lot of wrestling to watch. And honestly, well, that probably would have been the only draw of the pay-per-view, is that you might have actually seen more wrestling than talking. But
yes, yeah.
And I'm not really, because that's who said that. That I think someone posted on the Facebook page there. That they're like, if you want to see more Zack Ryder, you don't really like wrestling, basically, because he's not that good in the ring. And I'm like...
Well, I know who you're talking about. That is actually John Keating of Break the Ice, a comic strip fame.
Yes.
An aspiring actor. I didn't forget that part, John. I think... And John actually, I don't know if you checked it lately... But John explained himself a little more on that, because I was a little lost on that myself. I didn't take the time to comment, but...
Right.
Neither. I mean, he just said, he's like, you know, he's getting over because of his talking ability and his non-wrestling capacity. But then these people that want to see him, you know, they don't want to see him for his wrestling ability. They want to see him for his talking ability. But then at the same time, you're going to bitch because you want to see guys wrestle. So... I understood his point, actually.
Yeah. I understood the initial point, I think, after I thought about it, after kind of getting riled up about it. But, and I guess I don't have that much of a problem with it. You know what I mean? Like, the way that they format things, I guess, if the quality would be higher sometimes, it wouldn't be as bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, and the guys in there... And we're part of a select group of people, so we're not going to tell you what it is. But and some of the other people, you know, called John out on it, and then also stated, like, you know, it's not that we want to see him talk, but it's a character we can get behind. So let's see him wrestle, and then he can stick to doing his own shit, you know, on his YouTube show. I think that's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, and I mean, I never thought he was all that terrible in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm going to nominate him as the next Ricky the Dragon Steamboat or anything like that, but shit, the guy's barely had any ring time since he's been in the WWE, period, end of sentence. And mm-hmm. I thought he's looked pretty good, at least good, when he's had a chance. You know, I mean, he was on ECW a lot, and I thought he was good there.
When was he on ECW? I guess I don't remember. I'm not saying he wasn't. I just said I don't remember. So
I think he was on the tail end, and he might not have been. But I even think he mentioned that. I think Ryder mentioned that.
Hmm. Okay. No, I mean I believe you. So I just I guess it was one of those cup of coffee sort of things. I guess.
Well, and I don't even know because I think he said something about being his character, but I seem to think that might be a little bit almost too long ago.
Oh, that's right. That's where the whole Long Island thing started, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me. All right.
Yeah, because he said he was doing it before Jersey Shore. I forget when he said it in one, maybe it was this past week's episode or something like that. But I remember him stating that he was doing it before Jersey Shore came
yep.
TV.
Yeah, because I remember I was like, what the hell is this?
It was his interview that was up last Friday. That's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I read that. And I was damn, was it really that long ago that he was doing that?
Yeah, because I remember you talking about it. And I was like, what the hell is he doing? And you're like, you haven't heard of the Guidos? And then, after doing some research, because I was like, oh, God, one of these guys. So, but no. Wow, so we got off on another one now.
Yeah, big surprise. Let's, it happens around here.
What were we supposed to be talking about? Oh,
the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And Raw, which Zack Ryder was not on either one of them.
Yeah.
Not even the cool backstage cameos.
Yeah, he had 2 weeks in a row where we had 3 hours of television. And that's where I, in my Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of Raw blog there. As soon as Vicky came out to do that dance, I'm like, do me a favor, shut off your TV. Like, stop watching this shit.
Yeah.
Like, just leave it up to people reviewing pro wrestling to watch pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, this, that is honestly how sick of it I was. And I guess that's another part that, going back to Zack Ryder, like, it seems like he'd be at least somewhat quality TV.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. But, I mean, if you look, to try and wrap up the Zack Ryder thing, just so we don't get off track again. He didn't even get a Superstars match this week. He got a dark match.
And he was on NXT.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did come back to NXT and won, too. So, I don't know. It's, I mean, what would you rather be on, NXT or Superstars? I mean, at least Superstars, you know where to tell people to come see you. And he did the face. He's doing the face turn. So I guess he was, per his last episode, he's doing the turn. Yeah. But no, going to the dance off thing, and we're not going to spend time on this, but.
No. I'm just.
I got a kick out of Vicky because she said she was trained as an exotic dancer, and then she said her stage name was Peaches. I don't know why, but that word just cracks me up when you use it in the proper context.
Yeah, it just reminded me of South Park where they go to the kids' version of Hooters, and it's called
Raisins?
Peaches.
Oh, no, it was Raisins.
It was Raisins.
Yes. Yep, and Butters falls in love with the waitress. Poor Butters. Yeah, Peaches used to be an old record store back in Detroit. They didn't last very long.
Yeah, no. Again, like, her mic work was probably funnier than, like, the dance-off portion of things.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and then when she hit Michael Cole and said, you cheated? Okay. So, I don't know. And what a weird world, like, wrestling is right now because... And we'll get into it in a second with the voting problems, but Michael Cole won the fan voting for a dance-off. Then they cheered him. And I know Matt Stryker tried playing it off saying, well, whoever got the loudest boos. But there were people cheering for Michael Cole.
Because he actually tried to dance.
Yeah. But this is the guy that people wanted to see get killed just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, is everyone's attention span that short?
Well,
that you get
there's that, and Vicky is the heat monster extraordinaire. I mean, as much as Michael Cole was getting heat, I still don't think he was getting Vicky heat.
Yeah. Yeah, because even, I mean, even at WrestleMania when he came down, no one, I mean, it was kind of a silent boo.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he didn't get, I mean, he got booed some, but I mean, and there's always signs up, like, I mean, at this point, you know, it's almost hard to unify a WWE crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
one way or the other, like, I mean, you could hear how many chants CM Punk was getting later on Raw.
Well, all right, so we'll start with that one. Dude, I know he says he doesn't do this to get cheers. He's doing this to get cheers. I mean, he throws out the one line, like, yeah, compared to this, or like, you know, looking out at this crowd, no one should be controlling it, about something like that. But then he does all this cool shit that, you know, all the adults start cheering, and if these kids see their dad or mom cheering for him, they're going to start cheering for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't be disingenuous and say you don't do this stuff for cheers when you do.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, come on. And especially when for whatever reason, he was bringing up his hometown of Chicago. I thought that was weird. Because they don't usually, you know, allow him to do that stuff. But, of course, he's the one guy that says whatever he wants, apparently. But no, yeah, but during that, it was like...
And they've mentioned that before. Like, I'm trying to... Because I think that he had another big matchup heading into one of the pay-per-views in Chicago also. But it might have been a couple of years ago.
No, that was... I think it was before WrestleMania, or maybe even just a little bit last year. They didn't show his ring entrance.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was one time he was already in the ring, and then there was another time where... They did introduce him from Chicago, and he somehow turned on him. But by the end of the promo, they were cheering for him all over again, so.
Yeah, that was the one that I was thinking of.
Okay. Yeah, but there was another one where they didn't show his ring entrance.
But still, I mean, I don't think there's been any mistake, though, that Chicago's his hometown. So, I mean, mentioning it again to me isn't a big deal, I guess.
But it's like, I maybe they're also making the excuse that no one's going to be cheering for Cena during that match, being in Chicago.
Huh.
I mean, it reminds me of the RVD John Cena stuff at the ECW arena.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Hammerstein.
Yeah, they're giving themselves a built-in excuse to really hear the cascading boos.
Right. So, that was the one development over, we'll go with your total, 14 hours of wrestling. That's the only development that seems to have stuck with anybody. I mean, you're doing something wrong, aren't you? If that one thing, and it is a big deal, and hopefully they treat it like a very big deal for the next couple weeks. But there's nothing else. I mean...
Yeah, no, like, everything was kind of either a rerun or, Del Rio, I don't even give a shit.
Nope.
Especially since he's going to be taking on the Big Show, like, you almost need someone bigger to be taking on the Big Show. Like, I don't mind a bit of a mismatch. But Del Rio's, like, he's weird because he's not big enough, or he's not small enough to be... Rey Mysterio, how's he going to do this kind of a guy?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really big enough to be in the same almost size department. Like, even Triple H is, like, I guess a good example for me, is that he's big enough that you're like, oh, okay, whatever, he might have a chance of kicking this other big dude's ass.
Yeah.
But Del Rio's, like, just small enough. It's like, how is this going to work? And even CM Punk, I kind of wonder, like, CM Punk is not one of the larger... big-time names.
No.
And I thought he was a little strange with the Big Show when they had that matchup for the same reasons.
Yeah. But I guess luckily in Punk's case, he's got the wherewithal, you know, to make it look a little more legit. But which you don't get with a lot of the guys. they don't have the brains to figure out how to work with Big Show so that it avoids the exact problem you were just mentioning.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Del Rio doesn't have that yet. Like,
no. No. But, all right. I thought putting him in that triple threat match was a cool idea, and it paid off in the ring because Del Rio, that's the best he's looked in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that match was really good.
Yeah.
And they took their turns brawling with each other. It wasn't just like the CM Punk and Rey Mysterio show or anything.
Well, and they actually had a really good near fall when Rey hit the 619 and then did the falling splash. I was like, are they really going to do this? And then you see Punk get in real quick. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So it was a nice false finish, which goes to another one of the matches, which I thought had some decent finishes or false finishes, was Dolph and Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Because to me, at least, it seemed that it was one of those moments where this seemed like, all right, they gave Dolph the win on pay-per-view, but they're going to let Kofi win it back.
Oh.
So every fall to me was just built in, like, all right, Dolph's going to lose it here. Oh, all right, no. But this was one of those matches where the voting for the power to the people thing got screwed up. And it was supposed to be exactly what you called in your blog or your review. It was supposed to be Vicky Guerrero banned from ringside.
Yet again, showing her heat potential.
Yeah. And instead, there was a 2 out of 3 falls. I'm like, that's a weird option to choose.
Yeah. Well, A, they can say that it was a mistake all they want. But I don't believe them for 5 seconds. I think I mentioned in the blog too, like, it's just like, okay, it's going to be one for one. Like, if someone won 2 in a row more often or every so often, like, I think it'd really help out.
Yeah.
And with the way that they seem to be pushing him, I don't understand it. Like, make it an emphasis. It's 2 out of 3 falls. Have him win both falls. And it's just like, no, this is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just another one of those things. And even if it was Kofi that they chose to be their guy, just do it, man. Have him win both of the falls.
Yeah. Did you notice one thing during the Kofi-Kingston match? Or before the match even started with Kofi?
No.
Did you hear some of the crickets in the crowd when Kofi came out?
Yeah, no. I was gonna say, if you read it, then you.
I did. That's why I mentioned it. Because you're dead right. I was gonna say something about it. So.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think I've been wrong in the past, but this time around, there was no mistake. He was not really getting cheered.
No. And here's the problem. There's a reason he's not getting cheered. There's a reason Dolph's not getting booed. There's a reason that Mason Ryan, and I know he's a lumbering oaf, no one gives a shit. Evan Bourne doesn't get the payoff he does. None of them get to talk. I think, can you remember the last time Dolph had a promo, and not that interaction with Austin, but a promo, or Kofi had one of any sort? Evan Bourne never talks. Mason Ryan, he has his flashes, but there's no personality for him.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the last time, and I think I mentioned that maybe on SmackDown or something, but I was just like, when was the last time? Like, the reason, I think it was when I was with Eric. I said, you know, the reason why I really started to like Kofi was because of his mic work against Orton.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's been completely gone. Like, it's just non-existent. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, like, I don't understand what happened. Well, I know, you know, Orton got pissed off at him during that match, and it's been downhill since.
But,
I mean, as far as promo time and that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, right or wrong, that's where you can trace it back to.
Yeah, and but it's and I think that's another part. I think it's part of the promo time, and part of it is that it's no matter what they're doing with the guy, whether it's trying to move them up or trying to get them booed or trying to bury them, it's mm-hmm. like they can't be bothered with doing any of it right now. Like, if you're that still that pissed at Kofi, make him shitty. Like, make him do jobs more. Like, yeah. Why are you playing this, like, oh, well, I guess we kind of still like him. Let's give him the ice, or the whatever belt.
U.S., yeah.
Give him the U.S. belt before he moves over to Raw. And it's like, well, why don't you just have, you know, whoever the title holder was on Raw, just keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
have them lose it to someone else on Raw rather
well,
than...
It was Sheamus, wasn't it? And he moved to SmackDown, so they couldn't have both belts on the show. I think that was the problem.
Yeah, no, they were going to have both belts on the show, but I guess I was saying, why not just keep both the belts on their shows?
Yeah.
In some way or another. Like, because I think Sheamus had just won it like a week or two before the draft.
Yeah, he beat Daniel Bryan for it.
Yeah, it's like, why not just keep it on Daniel Bryan? Well, of course, he ended up moving too.
Right.
Okay.
Well, but that was one of those cases where they chose their guy, and it was going to be Sheamus. So then they decide to do a draft. We cover this a bunch of times, but it just bears mentioning. There's no planning. Look at since WrestleMania, the timeline of their decisions, and there's no rhyme or reason to anything. I mean, out of the blue, R-Truth is getting a push. Just no clear indication why. It wasn't like people were cheering him, so, you know, it was time for him to turn because the cheers were petering off. They were never that big to begin with, so it didn't make the impact that it was supposed to. I mean, not that really for his benefit it's worked out, I think. I mean, he's kind of fun being the... Like,
yeah, the crazy guy.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid crazy guy, but he's, I guess, you know, that's what he is, so. No, and then they move the belts around like crazy, move guys around. I mean, look at Alex Riley. They draft him to SmackDown on a supplemental draft, then all of a sudden go, oh, shit, we got him feuding with The Miz.
No, he wasn't even feuding with The Miz yet. They're like, oh, personal services contract. He mentioned SmackDown once or twice. Oh, yeah.
He was actually on SmackDown once, I believe.
Yeah, no. You know what it was? Is that right before things blew up, he said to The Miz, oh, I was over, you know, I had to be over on SmackDown.
Right.
Your priorities with me, you know, with this personal services contract, wherever the hell he sent him, signed him to. So, like, yeah, he even mentioned it on Raw at some point that he was a SmackDown wrestler. And, yeah, there was just amnesia, and...
But it... And that's one of those situations where, and I know you've advocated this, is, like, not, like, trades, that sort of thing, or even have Teddy Long acknowledge it and go, you know, he's got his issues, he's got to work out on Raw, so in the meantime, they're lending us, you know, until, you know, that's over with, SmackDown's getting... I don't know.
Yeah, they don't even need someone big time. Have them take back Drew McIntyre for a couple of months.
See, I was going to use him.
I'm just trying to come up with a shitty name without looking at their roster.
Right.
I mean,
No. But that was the first guy that came to mind. But it's like, okay, here's Alex Riley, and we're going to give you Drew McIntyre. So basically, it's a turd for a turd. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to polish up Alex Riley. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The choices are just not absurd, because at least absurd means that there was some logic that could have been followed, and this just doesn't. It's just absurd what they're doing. This is just a head scratcher. Like, what are you doing? And I think Raw's. They had All Star Week the week before, and this was Power to the People.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, why were there SmackDown guys on this week's? Okay.
Hey, that's exactly where I was going. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, what the hell? Like, because when they showed Sin Cara, I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I think that was the first reveal. It's just like, why do they have SmackDown people on here?
Then they actually had an actual SmackDown match.
With
Cody Rhodes and Daniel Bryan. I mean, a straight out match. I mean, I could see if they go, okay, this is our All-Star, or, well, no, I mean, the All-Star was last week, but this is our, you know, Power to the People episode, so we're gonna, you know, relax the boundaries or something like that. But instead, they just keep popping these guys up, and I know talking about the brand extension is a dead horse by now, but they could at least acknowledge it or just totally ignore it, because you don't see Raw guys going to SmackDown at all. So,
yeah, no, I mean, that's another one where I thought that they normally, between, again, when they're actually writing there between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, was when they mainly ignored it. And the rest of the year, they usually kind of kept it pretty separated. This year, it seems like they're doing less of that.
Oh, yeah. They don't. I mean, there's no line to even blur. It's.
Yeah, I mean, I have no way to judge that, because, I mean, I'm just going on, you know, what I feel like happened last year, or, well, the last several years. But, wow, there have been a lot of SmackDown people on Raw.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, they have, all right, but even if you say there's a lot of people on Raw, there are, but yet they still import guys from SmackDown to fill time. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, no, I mean, they have a crap ton of guys on the roster that's just... I mean, why, again, just kind of going back to another one that we love, is why do you even have them on the roster? You know, I mean, do you think Tyler Rex is going to be that big of a hit in TNA that you need to hang on to him? Wouldn't it help not to pay that guy if you're doing this piss poorly?
Yeah, I hate saying, you know what, if you're not using them, get rid of them, because... You don't want to put someone out of work, but are you really even working? I mean, you're getting a paycheck, so hey, I mean, good.
Yeah.
But where is Drew McIntyre, or Tyler Rex, Chris Masters? All these guys were at the end of April, we were all saying, oh, don't be answering your phone. Now they don't give a shit, because nothing's ever happened on the phone. So...
Yeah, they're just holding on to people just to hold on to people for whatever reason.
Why? It's not like any of these guys would go to TNA and make a difference. And if they go over to Japan or Mexico, it's not going to hurt their business anyways. So it's like a hoarding situation in some cases.
Yeah, no, and it's another one of those things where, you know, if you think that they're developing as they're on NXT or superstars there, you think that you're like, oh, okay, well, they've gone long enough on the undercard. Let's bring them up to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
To give them a tryout. But those guys, it's hard remembering when they've been on the big card. And again, like,
right.
I'm not even going to say our boy there, but why not have – it's been, again, going back to the two, three-hour Raws. Why haven't any of those guys that are on the Raw roster been there?
Yeah. I mean, even in a Michael Tarver, who's been released, sort of situation, just have Drew McIntyre standing in back, or have, you know, Chris Masters, like, congratulating someone, or as they walk by going to commercial, like John Cena was doing with Zack Ryder. At least remind you, if you're going to pull the guy into an event, at least put him on TV for a second.
Yeah.
I'm not delusional thinking that they're going to be able to fit everybody on the show, because there's too damn many people. But, I mean, even for a 3-hour show, because you've got to have your mandatory talking. so that's going to relegate some time. So you can't have matches with everybody. And even superstars, they spend so much time doing recaps. There's another match's worth of time there, at least.
Oh, yeah.
And there's tag teams, but what the fuck ever. So,
yep.
The idea of a tag team is what I'm getting at. I mean, where's Tyson Kidd been? Superstars, take that back.
Superstars.
D.H. Smith.
Managers. Trying out new Stetson hats.
Yeah. The Usos, they've been on SmackDown finally. And again, these aren't guys that you're craving to see, but these are guys who are on the roster being hoarded, basically. So fucking use them. I mean, Tamina. Melina's hasn't been on. Maurice hasn't been on.
The tag champs haven't been on the last 2 weeks.
Who are the tag champs?
Otunga and Miguel
Cuddy. That's right, yeah. I honestly totally forgot about that.
Yeah, no, I only remembered because the one Raw that they were actually on like 2 weeks ago or something, I was like, oh shit, that's right, they're the champions. And I don't think I've seen them since that week.
Yeah, and over on SmackDown, the Usos are fighting with Slater and Justin Gabriel. Well, why? They're not the champions, who cares?
Well, they actually said that they were going to possibly move up the ranks to take on the tag champions.
Fucking ranks. See, that shit drives me nuts, man. That's why I like CM Punk saying wins and losses actually do matter. I mean, it was just him just being a dick. Or like, you know, his internet following. I'm sure McMahon is back there going, all right, you're a good hit with the internet, so go ahead and say some internet-y sort of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, rank systems. And then TNA's got some bullshit thing going on with rankings. No, it doesn't matter. I remember the old Pro Wrestling Illustrated used to have, like, per month, they'd have their rankings. They had, like, the top 10 wrestlers, top 10 heels. And then they'd break it down by company. And the U.S. champion or Intercontinental Champion was always the number one contender to the world belt in their rankings. And I'm like, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that easy. Anyways. Again, another off-the-rails thing, but...
Well, we can't really review the product right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other reason why we've been brainstorming, like, ideas to come up with for recording shows, because we feel tired of them, and I would guess that we subliminally think that our audience is tired of of the wrestling itself, too.
Our hits don't seem to... For some reason, the more tired our audience gets, apparently, the bigger our hits up, so stay tired of wrestling and keep coming to the site.
Yeah, well, if they didn't agree with their opinions, they wouldn't come back to the disenchantment that is Stunt Granny.
John Cena didn't have a big promo this week, did he?
No, that was a little bit strange. I'm like, hold on, is the main event like the only time I'm seeing John Cena?
And that, you know what? And that was a good thing. And you know, not just being a John Cena hater, but. You don't you can pull back the exposure. So next week he can come out, because he's done with Truth. He's got to be done with Truth by now. And you solely focus on CM Punk. So you've got those two doing it one more time. So, and Randy Orton didn't talk at all, which I thought was interesting. It was all the heels doing most of the talking.
Yeah, because we had the comedy trio there, which... did no one favors.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah, at first I'm like, okay, Christian kind of has the same thing. You know, the same complaint as R-Truth. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And then when they added The Miz, I'm like, I'm confused.
I did like when, I think it was Christian. He goes, yeah, I've had 3 shots. And Truth goes, you had how many shots? That was kind of funny, actually. So
yeah, no. Truth, he's playing a good crazy, and and I know you didn't want to use that word earlier, but I mean, I think that helped kind of say how crazy he was, because even the part when he's like, they were complaining about different names, Christian and Miz were throwing around different names, he truthfully just goes, what about Jimmy? And I'm just like, oh my god. It's like, he's like the crazy neighbor guy. It's outstanding.
Or what was what were they going back and forth with? And then he interrupted saying Jimmy, and then Chris. Were they saying? What the hell were they even doing?
I don't know. And that's one thing I do not do in my reviews. I do not blow for blow as to what's happening.
Yeah, I was just watching this, going, what the fuck is going on? And then Truth goes, Jimmy! And I'm like, oh, okay, that's the end of it. And then they started all over again. It was like, wow, really? These are your top heels doing a really awful comedy bit? And then, what was the other? Oh, the other strange thing was the Mark Henry Kane interaction, where the crowd starts chanting, this is stupid, which was really funny. Then Mark Henry beats the hell out of him. And then, as you'll see, the picture posted for this audio, that's what some lady's reaction was to him beating up Kane. And then you just throw your hands up going, this is what Mark Henry should have been doing since day one. Every, year, he gets a push like this.
Well, and they even did it. He did almost the same exact thing to Cena.
Mm-hmm. Batista. Kurt Angle.
Well, no. He did it to Cena right before they moved him to SmackDown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they've done such a piss-poor job with him in the month and a half or whatever since the draft, 2 months at most, that they've had to rebuild him already. Like, they fucked up within 2 months.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck? Like, you had this built in, and then you had him job to, like, three or four people, like, mate, again, going back to the make up your goddamn mind.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he looked badass, but what? I mean, in another 2 months, is he going to look like a fucking chimp again?
Well, yeah. That's what they always do with him. They build him up, and then they just dog him out. So, and here's, and this goes back to something I said earlier, and I hate saying this stuff, but I said, you don't want to see a guy get fired, but sometimes you gotta let him go. Mark Henry, Kane, Kozlov, Santino, these guys who have just, they're done. They've overstayed their welcome. Now, Kane's a little different because he still gets a crowd reaction. But there's no new ground for these guys. Santino, you could turn heel again, I guess. But you've got these guys taking up a spot for guys that you aren't giving one lick of a chance to. So you've got your core characters that you can pull in, or, you know, not core characters, excuse me. You've got this bottom of the barrel that hasn't been given any shot. So you can already have, instead of going out there bringing up guys from FCW, you can bring in guys who have been on the road, who are around the locker room guys. You know, the guys taking notes. There's Kurt Hawkins, for that matter.
Yeah.
Get rid of Santino. Get rid of Kozlov. Mark Henry. Some of the 90% of the women, you're not using them. Get going. And then you've got all this extra time that you can fill with these new people. Then you bring in another crop of guys at the bottom and start over.
Yeah, no, it's like they've forgotten how development works.
Well, when the main new talent development guy takes off and gets replaced with a guy who used to carry a skateboard, I mean, there's a direct correlation between that. And maybe, I mean, this is Triple H's job now. Find a new talent. So let's go.
Yeah.
I don't see any.
Yeah. No. There hasn't been any in a while.
No. I mean, their new talent is R-Truth being the heel.
Yeah. Yep, and your best heel going is walking out the door, supposedly.
Yeah. And who else was leaving? Or not leaving, but in your other heel, Miz, you've cooled off really fast. So he's in his year-long stretch of getting nothing.
Yeah, that's it. I'm like, okay, he's getting his Sheamus treatment now.
Yeah.
And even so, Sheamus, over on SmackDown, has kind of gotten crapped on a little bit because the only new guy, again, is someone that they have had around, Christian, going heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when this Christian Orton thing ends, I'm figuring Orton's going to come out on top, but who does he fight? Mark Henry? Is that why they're doing this? Because it sure seems like they're setting up a feud with Kane with him.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe Christian gets another match.
Yeah, if they're smart, they just pull Del Rio and go, "You're going back to SmackDown, and you're taking your manservant with you." And that was one thing that really annoyed me Monday, and it was such a nitpicky thing. He called Ricardo Rodriguez his ring announcer. No, he should have said, you know, when you took out my servant, and belittle him, put him down. I mean, that's what Ted DiBiase did with Virgil. That's what you do. The rich guy always treats the guy as a lackey, not, you know, don't give him a title. He's your servant. I mean, I guess it's a title, but it's a demeaning title, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. And I thought he had referred to him in a demeaning manner before, but the last 2 weeks, he hasn't.
Yeah. I mean, just keep it going. And it's not that I don't like Ricardo, because I think it's a great team. Because Ricardo sees him as you're going to have the thing where Ricardo thinks they're equals, and Alberto's just like, ugh. But he helps him out enough to keep him around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the one nitpick. That's nitpicky, but it sets up for stuff down the road. I was talking to Eric about it. And it sets you up for down the road when Ricardo goes, "I'm not your damn servant." And then he gets beat up and you never see him again. So, I'm trying to think what else happened on Raw. I mean, Evan Bourne and Mason Ryan.
Yeah, another one of those. Oopsie, we had the wrong voting. It's just like, A, how could they not know that the voting was wrong when it came in? You know what I mean? Like, that's the reason why I can't buy them saying we had no idea the voting was wrong. It's just like, come on. Like, you're giving the power to the people, and I know that I already said earlier in the show that there's more of a split brand or a split fan base.
Yeah,
there is not that many people, even in the internet crowd, that are clamoring for more Mason Ryan.
Oh no. But first, I do think their voting is legitimate because they give you the dumbest ass choices, and then one good one. I mean, look at those choices: Jack Swagger, Mason Ryan, Evan Bourne. It was clearly supposed to be Evan Bourne. They manipulated you that way. I'm sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Even the Vicky, Dolphin, Kofi.
Yeah.
2 out of 3 falls. Falls count anywhere? No.
I forget what the other choice was.
And then Vicky Guerrero banned from ringside. That was supposed to be that one. Because remember, look at all that stuff. There's always the one they want you to choose. And it always works out that way for them. So I can see at that time, and remember, this is a company that seems to be out of touch with what, you know, is successful right now in a ratings and pay-per-view drawing sort of manner. And they're in on a live show, so when those voices of Mason Ryan came in, I'm sure they were like, "What are you fucking talking about? Oh, my God, get out there. Your match is next." You know, they didn't have that opportunity to, like, actually take a level-headed approach. Now, if this was a tape show, obviously they could have, you know, found the discrepancies. But I'm not one of those guys that buys it. This is a rigged system. It's manipulated, yes. Rigged, no. I think the votes were real. Because they even said that Mason Ryan got all the votes because of, they were leftovers from Kelly Kelly from the first one.
I didn't actually read the whole WWE thing.
Yeah, and that's why that happened. He got the overflow from Kelly Kelly somehow.
Yeah, outstanding.
But so, I mean, obviously Evan Bourne was going to lose, but...
Yeah.
Which is another bad mistake, but... I didn't pay close enough attention, but maybe you did. Was Mason Ryan wearing really small trunks or something? Because there were a bunch of wrestlers commenting on Twitter about it, and I read some other people talking about it. And I guess I didn't pay that close of attention.
You know, I mentioned that I thought that he stole Batista's trunks, but maybe the crotch was cut a little bit different, now that I think about it, because it seemed like he was showing a little more ass than he should be.
You know what
I mean? All right. The cut around the outside seemed a little, you know, big. big, short. I don't know. How do I want to say that? Whatever. There seemed like there was less trunk there, let's say.
Was he girthy?
No, I was not paying attention to his bulge.
Oh, God. All right. I knew it was going to degrade to me just laughing, trying to listen to you explain it, so I guess that's why I did that.
Yeah, no.
You know, and then the crowd started chanting Batista during it, which I thought was kind of funny, too. So there was a definite dickishness to the crowd last night, which I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah, no, the crowd seemed pretty fun.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck they were, because I don't think it's one of the spots that I'm like, ooh, this is always going to be a good crowd.
The Rhode Island? No. New Hampshire? It was East Coast. Was it Rhode Island? Was it Providence, Rhode Island?
Maybe.
Whatever.
I don't ever write that down. But yeah, the crowd was pretty rocking. Like, you know, even if it was for something as entertaining as this is boring.
Yeah, and this is stupid, which I thought was great. And it's like somebody decided, all right, let's go back to our old 80s bag of tricks, and this will work on these people. No. People are way too sophisticated now, even as much as I hate them. But children are way more sophisticated than you give them credit for. So,
yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps up. We didn't even talk about capital punishment, but who gives a shit?
Yeah, no, I don't think... I think we have two things that we could touch on quickly.
Yeah. Speaking of touching on... I don't know which one this will go to, so we'll talk about your moment of glory first. I'll have to try and find your blog and put it in this post so people understand what we're talking about. But
yeah, just put the link to it in there or something. Yeah.
Kevin basically called out the exact reason Andy was chosen for the Tough Enough winner.
I didn't read that article until you sent me the link to it. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's both on ProWrestling.net and the PW Torch when they were talking to Tough Enough runner-up Luke, and I can't remember what his last name was, but he was talking about how like all the trainers said backstage that you know he was going to be it and everything, and that they really blew him. And he said that he felt the main reason that he didn't get chosen was because the WWE wanted the family man to win over the party guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was the main reason I said that he ended up winning that. It wasn't quite the day after. But I was shocked, honestly, and I'm still shocked that... people aren't really saying that much about it. It's just like, is it that obvious that it didn't need to be stated? But like, obvious things are like overstated at this point.
Yeah.
To the point of just pain in the assery.
But I think you're selling yourself a little short, because there's two much bigger publications than us. and basically, almost verbatim, took exactly what you wrote the day after Tough Enough ended. And yeah. Now all of a sudden they're applying it as if it's their own logic. And like, that's bullshit. And maybe they were thinking it. Yeah. Well, guess what? You should have said so ahead of time.
No, Luke said that to in the interview to whoever he was interviewing.
They
weren't even smart enough to put it in their blogs or to bring up points about it.
Well, that's what I said. In the one from the Torch, I think it was James Caldwell. He even put it in quotes, and that usually signifies his opinion of it. That was his idea, like his thoughts on it. And
oh, okay.
So I mean, I'm not saying they're ripping you off, so I don't want to misconstrue it, but it's like, you know, the idea's been out there for a while. Now all of a sudden, people are picking up on it, and I just want to make sure that everyone knows that Kevin was the first one to call that shit the way it was. So, I don't know.
Toot, motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, no, that I'm still surprised that, like, nobody ever brought that up at all. Like, it's just like, it just seems so logical to me when I was sitting there washing my dishes. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the reason that happened.
He's kind of painting, like, kind of a lonely picture on that one, though. It's like, Kevin longingly looking out the window, and all of a sudden it occurs to him. Maybe these guys do their own audio shows that
things could be more populated over at Shays DeFranco. So
true.
Painting a lonely picture is somewhat accurate.
hopefully that'll be changing. So, I was saying maybe these guys said this on their audio shows or podcasts, whatever the hell they want to call them, but.
Yeah, that's the other thing, that it's just impossible to keep track of, like, all the crap that's out there.
And this is why we do shows so often, because speaking of the impossible, Matt Hardy actually got suspended from TNA, which I honestly did not know was possible. I mean, I was honestly trying to figure out a way to work in the word impossible into this so I could just do that, but.
Yeah, that was Mission Impossible, and somehow Matt Hardy has pulled it off.
Yeah, and the reason given is that he was late for shows, which if you read my blog or my posting, I think I broke it down almost accurately. I'm not real sure if every single date is correct, but the motherfucker works at maybe 10 days a month.
Oh yeah, 10.
I mean, maybe 12, and you know the average work week is 5, so whatever. But still, and what I forgot to say was one of those time period is actually 3 days in a row or 2 days in a row of tapings.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a normal job where, all right, I got to be here at this time and do this at this time. All I got to do is show up on time.
Yeah, back-to-back days.
So it's like, when is his inane bullshit finally going to stop? And he even tried gussing it up saying, this is Matt Hardy full speed ahead or something.
Yeah, he's glad to be getting some free time.
Well, why the fuck did you sign with TNA, stupid?
Yeah, just don't wrestle. Take time off.
Yes, which you almost seemingly clearly you need. I mean, you need something. So I just wanted to make mention of that. That this guy who consistently blows his own wad.
Yeah.
Just does stupid shit like this.
And it's amazing that people, especially after this one, like, I'm sure, and I don't even need to look at his videos or his Twitter account or anything, but the number of people probably defending him and telling him good for him and get your game on or whatever the fuck they're telling him.
Yeah.
It's just like, seriously, like, you're that delusional? Like, that's one of those moments, just like, there are that many dumb people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's like going to a personal trainer and ignoring them.
Yeah. Yes, exactly like that.
Yeah, oh, man. I mean, what a group of fuck-ups those guys are, too. I mean, you got Jeff, Matt, Shane Helms, and then you've got little Shannon Moore, who just covers himself in tattoos because no one really wants to be around him.
And he might actually be the only person who at least can make a living with what he's done, though.
Like,
I don't know how well his tattoo parlor's doing, but, I mean, if his ink is as... I mean, if he's as good an artist as what he has on his body, then he should be able to do fine, at least. You know, get by. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to become fucking Miami Ink or something like that, but
yeah,
he should be able to, you know, hold down his own gig.
Yeah, I kind of blew my spot up on that one, but you're right. So it's
yeah.
No, you're exactly right. I never really thought of it that way. And you know what? And that's fine. Stick to doing the inking then. So
yeah, I mean, he's definitely not. He definitely hasn't done it in the wrestling ring. Like, man, he's another one that. How long is he? He's been around for goddamn ever. At this point.
Well, shit. We can't have this conversation about TNA. So.
No, I mean, I was just thinking. To me, I was just gonna compare it to R-Truth. Like, forgetting how old, he was 41 when we talked last week. Yeah. Shannon Moore can't be that much younger. He probably was at a younger age when he started in WCW, but, like, he was in WCW for, what, a couple of years before they got bought out?
I think so. He was part of Three Count, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Evan Courageous was the other guy. All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's got to be getting, you know, he's got to at least be in his 30s somewhere. But, I mean, if he started at 18, he's been around at least 12, 14 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even at that point, he's 30. You know, if we go with an extreme young, I mean, yeah, I mean, the guy looked like he had all the potential in the world, and he just absolutely blows in the ring.
Oh, because he can't talk either. I mean, I think that's another big reason. Just that mushmouth crap, it doesn't work.
And what's his name? Helms, whatever with him. Like, he had a good character for a while, but he
not
was another
himself.
One where his ass couldn't keep himself in shape there at the end.
He'll blame that on his neck injury or whatever.
Yeah, when he turned into the green blob instead of the hurricane. And then, I mean, you know, Matt Hardy is definitely up there. He was part of one of the most successful tag teams ever. And he parlayed that into getting suspended by TNA. And then, of course, the king of all screw-ups there, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, which has got to be, I don't know. To me, the Jeff Hardy's got to be the saddest one because he's just around a bunch of dicks that are just enabling him.
He's kind of like LeBron. If he was surrounded by better people, he might make better decisions.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
He has all the talent in the world. Unfortunately, he's around a bunch of fuck-ups that he's depended upon his whole life, and he doesn't realize that he needs to get rid of them.
Hmm. It almost seems like that last episode of South Park. Are you trying to tell me something, or is this just part of the show?
I'm not trying to tell you anything. This is part of the show.
Yeah, well. And by the way, that was I think we talked about that real quick. That was a brutal final show of the half season.
Oh, yeah.
That ending. I had never heard the Fleetwood Mac or Stevie Nicks version of, I mean, the original version of Landslide. And then they play that. That's a brutal-ass song to listen to. And then you've got the context of what's going on in the show where something real is actually happening to one of the characters.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so... can we get to the happy real quick? And then those credits pop up, and it's like, they're actually going to do this? So...
Yeah, no, that was one of those ones where it was... The only one that I can compare it to that I remember a bunch of people were aghast at was when the killer whale was stranded up on the moon.
Oh,
and they didn't
yes.
play any music whatsoever. They just rolled the credits
yes.
with the dead whale on the moon. I immediately started laughing. My coworker, my one coworker, and I even think you were just like, dude, that was so wrong. I'm
that
like,
was so horrible, yes.
But and like, I think I was the only one that was just so sick that I just started laughing immediately.
I mean, it was funny, but you really think about it, it's just like, oh my god. And then they made it better in what, episode, what, 200? 201?
Yeah.
Where they put Tom Cruise up there with him, so.
Yeah.
They sent him to a happy place, and they showed Tom Cruise up there, and I was like, oh my god, that's great. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Jesus. I forgot about the whale. But at least the whale was just, alright, that's really sick, whatever. But this was like, it's Randy. Nothing bad ever happens to Randy.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden it was like, well, wait a minute. This is actually going to have like real repercussions? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know it's just a dumb show, but it was just like, wow, that was harsh shit, man.
Yeah,
so.
No, that was pretty crazy. And I said to you, that's the only cartoon that can pull off a moment like that. Anyone who tells me that The Simpsons could have pulled that bullshit off can go and fuck right off and haven't ever watched TV as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. There's no way The Simpsons could. I've seen the movie and they killed Dr. Nick. And all Dr. Nick said was bye everybody and that was it. So, you know, it's Dr. Nick, but still. So, all right. That's enough. I just wanted to mention that. So,
cool.
Wow. Damn, we talked a long time. So.
Yep.
Still got power, and I got to go see how many trees fell. So, all right. Well, going to get out of here. We're quickly approaching number 150. We only got three more to go, so we'll probably throw a bunch of half episodes in here just to keep it going. So I'm going to get out of here. Everyone, check out. I'll try to remember to put Kevin's blog in the post. If not, check back. So when we do remember, you can go read it or just look for Kevin's blog on the site. We're at Stunk Granny on Twitter. StunkGranny@gmail.com if you got anything you want to say to us directly and don't feel like putting it on the
comment
section. So, all right, well, I'm out of here.
Okie doke. Well, with other great things ending, I do believe that my GoDaddy.com subscription for StuntGranny.net, the message board that got used for all of 6 months, will be dying out here in about a month, so I will grab a sippy time beer for its funeral and have a good night, grandkids.